Mother Man.
Punky Brooks here, y'all. Cleveland Strangler. He may not be 419, but he's still cripping my book.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem!
Oh, man. Punky Brooks setting the tone tonight, Joey. Yeah. Holy shit, we're... Here in Horntie Studio.
Straight up Ohio.
That's right. That's what Joey's like. Hey, he's from Ohio. Like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Hey, might as well do that shit. Hell yeah. Goddamn. Right.
Well, it's Tuesday. We're throwing down a new Murder Metal Mayhem. Joey and I are at Horntie Studios. And Chris,
yes,
you are at the
jealous.
You are at the Nation 2 over there. Your alternate
yes, sir,
nation. Episode 166 going down tonight now.
What's up, you motherfuckers?
Chris, obviously you're doing this remotely for a reason. You want to share that with the listeners? What's up?
Yeah.
You're not a leper.
I mean, you never know. I could be. Fuck. But anyway, like, yeah, today's Tuesday, that the day we record. You guys get it Thursday, but what day was it? Fucking Friday morning, I think it was. I went and took a fucking one of them COVID tests because you got to do that these days. My girl had tested positive. So I was like, well, fuck, I probably should go get tested. So I got a positive test too. I'm fucking, so now I've just been stuck.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, ain't been sick or nothing. Just like,
well, that's good.
I'm just stuck.
Well, that's good. But I'm glad you're not sick. But yeah, I'm sure you're going stir crazy. So we're giving you something to do tonight. And you're there remotely, and we didn't want to cancel the show, so we just forging the fuck on.
Hell yeah.
Chris,
yeah,
what t-shirt are you wearing over there at the Nation 2?
Shit, I've been in my girl's house. I've been naked the whole time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, fucking, I got on my Gorgie shirt, one of the three that I have, but this one's got the top torso of a lady with her boobs hanging out. Funny story, I wore this shirt to work one day, not realizing I had to leave. Oh, wait, I told this story. I think
yeah,
this
I think
same
you
shirt.
Did tell this story. Yeah, yeah.
This is the same damn shirt. Never
all right,
that.
That's
yeah.
All right.
But I also got on my goddamn Murder Machine clothing fucking hoodie and my Gormonger hat with a Murder Machine button.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Nice. Joey, what about you, dude?
I got the Necro Cannibal Ass Grinder.
Fuck yeah.
Our buddy Gumma Wall Bacon's band from here in Illinois. And I got the Morbid Angel beanie out today.
Nice.
Keeping the ears warm.
Nice.
I like your shirt.
Joey, Chris, I got my Benediction shirt on. I love this shirt.
Nice.
Hell
fucking
yeah.
Badass. Those guys are sick as fuck. I just listened to them today.
Benediction's fucking old school as fuck, and I love it, dude. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, last week we did our episode.
Also, I think I'm going to beat Joey up and take that Morbid Angel beanie, though.
Hey, dude, I noticed with that mic you're using, when you get above a certain volume, it starts cracking a little bit. So watch it.
All right. I'll try.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is just my earbuds with the built-in mic, dude.
No, I understand. I understand. Well, last week we did our episode on the Canadian serial killer Clifford Olson, known as the Beast of British Columbia. Very sick crimes going on and on. He was raping, murdering children from 1980 to 1981. He escaped prison multiple times, and it was definitely a wild one. We had our buddy Shane on from Winnipeg.
Hell
Joey,
yeah.
Chris, that was fun.
That was awesome.
Dude, Shane's always a good guy to have on, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I definitely dig having Shane on.
Dude, anytime we do somebody from a different country, it's nice to have somebody from that country that knows about it more. Talk about it with us. Like, had that with Australia and shit, dude. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah, I agree. We also had our friend Justin here in the studio with us, and that was fun. And I did the metal feature on Votov, which was fun, and that was just killer. Got a lot of people watching the video interview I did with John Duke, and then also the episode, the bonus, had like almost 600 listens, Chris, to that one. So that's pretty awesome for an interview. Joey shared a great Mayhem story from a listener in Canada, which was great. Oh, yeah,
Michael's.
Yeah.
We jammed. He's just like, no, this motherfucking shit.
We jammed all Canadian bands, and even the karaoke I did was from a Canadian. So you got to go listen to that. Grab some poutine and go listen to episode 165 if you missed it.
Huh.
You remember when we was in Slam Dakota and they had that poutine fucking food truck?
Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely.
Oh, dude, nice.
That shit was so fire.
It's funny because everywhere I go, like, that has poutine, and I try to get it, and I try to fucking... And every time, it's always good to me. Like, I've never had, like, a bad dish, I don't think. But I always send pictures of it to my friends up in fucking Canada and shit. Yeah. I'm like, got that poutine. And every time they're like, that ain't fucking poutine.
Oh, hell
no. No matter what I get, they're like, no.
Wow. Well, there's that chain. I sent you the link that Shane shared with us.
Dude, it's just like French fries, brown gravy, and fucking cheese curds. That's it. Yeah. And then everybody tries to make it all extravagant and shit.
Right. I saw one of my buddies fucking posted a picture of something that he got up there.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, that's fucking poutine, you know? And it looked like a fucking bowl of slop. Like, it was just gravy and melted cheese. Like,
oh, God.
But I bet it was fire as fuck.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. It just sounds kind of gross. I don't know, but I'm willing to try it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm tonight, though, we got 1-6 son of a bitch tonight. I bet a lot of our true crime fans are not going to know much about Anthony Soul, Joey, the Cleveland Strangler.
Hell yeah.
Brutal.
Going back to Ohio, the dude was fucking a hell of a rapist and had fucking 11 murders that they know of, too.
And bodies around the house. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a gruesome one. Dude, burying him out in the backyard.
What is it with these dudes just throw the bodies in their house and just leave that and not take any...
Like, eat your dinner sitting there next to it, you know?
Him and Kendall Francois would have been great roommates.
I'm like, we just did another motherfucker as Francois, dude. Like, for real. Like,
yeah, they have a lot of similarities, that's for sure. So bodies laying around the house, heads in buckets with rats trying to get at them. Crack addicts gone fucking wild. It is going to be a good one tonight. But you got to stick around for the murder segment to find out what is up with this motherfucker. Now, Chris, you got the horns tonight. What's on tap tonight?
I'm doing some fucking goddamn Norwegian metal fucking cranium, dude.
Brutal, dude.
So it's going to be badass, dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going to do my best on it.
I'm sure you'll do it right.
But cranium, man, fucking brutal as fuck.
Hell yeah. And I'm going to dish out a lost classic for you guys and talk some metal news. Yeah, so we got some good stuff to talk about, some new bands. I did an interview with Corrosive over the weekend, and they told me about two bands. I'll share them in metal, but really, really good stuff. So love that question, man. I've been turned on to so much good music from that.
Hell yeah.
That's always a good question.
Yeah, it really is, because they're telling us about bands, and I was turning them on to Warfect and Malice's Wake, and they were like Googling it or, you know, checking it out while I was on with them, and definitely all about it. We got a good killer cage match tonight. Chris, we got some listeners we want to say thank you to that provide some random numbers for
us. Yeah. We got our homeboy Ray McFalls fucking kicking it. Hell yeah. Cody Durst. What up, homie?
Cody Durst.
And we got Cody Durst. And all right, who is that we were just talking about, Cashman? It was like, is he related to Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Robert Durst.
Yeah,
Robert Durst. Yeah. And then we got Colton Howell for the numbers. Yeah. So thank you.
I wonder if he's related to William Devin Howell, right? The episode we're going to do in a couple weeks. That guy's another one that was sleeping with the dead bodies in his van for 2 weeks. Imagine that. Right. Laying next to a dead body for 2 weeks in a van. I mean, that had to just stink to high hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, disgusting.
That's fucking gross.
And he would take him, his ritual was he would take him through the drive-thru at Mickey D's. He said he'd have him chained up in the back of the van naked and tell him, if you make any noise while we go through here, I'm going to kill you. And he would buy him breakfast, feed it to him, and then kill him and dump the body. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much more brutal than that guy. Connecticut's most biggest body count, Joey, is a crazy one. So we'll do that next couple weeks from now. But I wondered when I saw that name Howell if he was related to the serial killer. That'd be interesting. We got a good matchup tonight. Joey, who do we got fighting in the cage?
Fucking Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Hell yeah.
Who I'm looking at right now with our Sick Rick mask. Right. And then he's going to go up against the Alaskan serial killer, who likes to go on vacation and leave bodies at his house.
Right.
Israel Keys.
Oh, what an annoying. Fucking annoying as fuck, Israel
fucking
Keys.
Stop, dude.
So
that's fucked. So, I don't even like it at all.
Maybe that'll be my my voice. I'll do some.
There you go.
Match. Israel Keys.
David.
They'll have two objects and a variable to fight to keep it interesting. So that's in the mayhem segment. So you got to stick around for that shit. Thank you to everybody out there listening. Chris, we held our own this week at 2,800. So
hell yeah.
Doing all right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. So that's important.
I know it's a lower number, but I'm still, like Joey, looking for that 213.
Right, right. All right, Chris, Joey, we got a lot on our plate tonight. We're going to be taking an 8-hour trip to Cleveland to try to avoid running into crackheads and serial killers. So, Chris, what the fuck do we need to do?
Oh, let's get our murder on.
Fuck yeah, man. Schizophrenia. I love that band. They're so badass. The song Structure of Death from their EP. They got a brand new album, Chris, coming out on your birthday, February 17th. It's going to be sick. I'm really excited about it.
Hey, Joey, you know what's happening on my birthday?
No clue.
Prof is playing in Indy.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I really dig some schizophrenia, though. Those guys are badass and definitely a killer birthday present coming out the day before my birthday. And I'm going to be doing an interview with those guys. They're from Belgium. I really like them. So found about them from when I interviewed Chris from Warfect. He told me about schizophrenia and I checked them out. Really, really good shit.
Hell yeah.
If you search for them on streaming, just note that there's some rapper named Schizophrenia.
Oh, for real?
So you might be like, what the fuck is this? But if you search for Schizophrenia Official, that's them. Right. So just in case you're like, right what on. The hell? All right. So we're going to be doing this feature.
Google metal band.
There you go.
I can't remember when I first started Facebook, like when it first fucking started, and I created my page and I created a Goremonger page, and there was already somebody had done one.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I had called it Goremonger Official, you know, like you were saying.
Right.
And I think it was almost 7 years later that I was finally able to drop the official one and make my page the just Goremonger.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, no, it took a long fucking time
that's
to do
fucked
that.
Up. Yeah, there was a guy that...
I've never even done that shit, so I don't even know, dude.
There was a guy that hated Low 12 so much that he had a low12sucks.com.
Oh, my God.
And it went on for years. Yeah. And I was like, this motherfucker is paying for this shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
You must hate my band so bad. You spend
low
money 12. On it. Like, what the fuck?
Low12sucks.com.
I bet I bet Michael Schaubach ran that shit.
Probably. A satellite of the Kiss Army. All right. Well, tonight, guys, we're talking some Anthony Soul, the Cleveland Strangler, Another fucked up one, a sadist who loved to prey upon the most vulnerable people out there. He's raping and murdering drug addicts who are in most cases prostitutes. He was convicted of more than 80 rapes and 11 murders. There's probably more than that. We're going to dig into the details tonight. Definitely a sick one. Now, Chris, did you know much about Anthony Soul before you did some research for tonight?
I basically knew his name and what he did, but when I really got into it, I was like, holy fuck.
Right.
How did he get away with all this so hard? Like, for real, like.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying to hide it.
Right, you can see the crime scene photos. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Right. Yeah. The whole block stunk, man.
Yeah, and it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't even that long ago, if you think about it.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Like I said, I knew his name, but I don't think a lot of people know about what he actually did.
No, I don't think so either. Joey, we talk about the whole preying upon the weak. I mean, here's another one. I mean, what is it with these guys in that?
I mean, they got prostitutes are always going to be a huge fucking choice for a serial killer.
Right.
Because
they're going to go with you. Right.
Right. The unfortunate term that they've acquired is the less dead. I've heard them called that.
Yes.
And it's just people who are walking on the fringes of society, right, where if you disappear, you're not going to be looked at for.
Right.
And they're, and whenever, you know, even if people know that you're missing and stuff, you, the authorities unfortunately have shown that they have less of a care,
right,
for people like that than they would for somebody, you know, in a suburb, I guess.
Right.
It's fucked up. It's just the way it is.
It is.
And in that case, that gives, you know, and it's not just prostitutes. It's also like homeless people.
Right.
How many homeless people have probably fallen victim to serial killers that nobody even knows?
Oh, yeah.
Children are the same way, especially in, you know, third world countries. And right. Just anyone that's easy to pick off that you're not going to be looked at.
Right. That's like Shane said, the low hanging fruit.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like Anthony Soul, you get fucking convicted of, I mean, you know, 80 plus murders or rapes. You probably did way more than that.
Right.
Those are some serious violent crimes.
Right.
And you're doing that at a pace that you fucking racked up that many and you haven't been caught in all that time. That's sad, but that's because you're picking people who
right
aren't,
nobody gives a shit about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And it's what they said about like prostitutes, no matter what color, is like what is it, like the less dead or some shit like that?
Yeah, yeah, that's what Joey was like, saying. Look,
yeah.
Now, and you know, and I just watched the Frozen Ground movie again,
yeah,
about Robert Hansen, and you know, that was one case where the detective did take the fucking side of the prostitute,
right,
to work with her to make sure, right, that the guy was caught, and mm-hmm, it's not very often you see that.
No, he did go out of his, yeah, way. Now, I honestly never even heard of this dude before. I stumbled upon him when I was watching some docs on YouTube. The algorithms know me and dish out all sorts of sick true crime stuff, which is awesome. I am amazed that he didn't get more media attention outside of Cleveland. And like Chris said, it's a pretty modern story within the last 15 years or so. And it is sick and twisted.
I bet your really algorithm is. Was affected because you know Punky Brooks.
Probably. Probably. Probably.
In Ohio. Nice.
419. So Anthony Soul's born 1959 in Cleveland, Ohio. One of seven, born to a single mother, Gertrude Garrison. The father left when he was very young, never involved in his life much at all. The oldest child, Patricia, was living in the house. She had seven kids, like, holy shit, you know, like that had to be just an insane fucking household. I can't imagine that many kids in one fucking place,
yeah, that's fucking
but that
ridiculous.
Must have been nuts.
I'm going to freaking murder all of them.
He had it rough though, man. His mom was fucking beating the kids with cords and other things. And I saw that she pulled the kids out of bed in the middle of the night, forced them to strip in front of everybody, and then beat them with, as the other kids watched, to warn them. But, you know, I heard that when he watched, he was watching his brothers and sisters getting beaten, he thought it was funny, and would laugh, which is fucked up.
No, it's not good at all. No. Why are you laughing at me getting beat up, dude?
Right? And like bad. I mean, like really horrible beatings. And then when he was seven, he
witnessed, as a child.
Right, right. He's 7 years old. He witnesses a family member get sexually assaulted. His niece gets sexually assaulted. So just some horrible shit. And Joey, you have to wonder seeing shit. I'm sorry, Chris. You have to wonder if seeing something like that at such a young age would stick with him and, you know, maybe affect him later on. I don't know how it would.
Did I know that, like the documentaries and shit I watched, like, he witnessed, like, multiple people, like, his niece or the girl, like, his niece.
Right.
Getting brutalized, not brutalized, but just raped by family members, which is really fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Yeah, first of all, why are you going to rape somebody? Second, why would you pick a family member? It's fucked up.
Yeah, and a child at that. You know, it's just fucked up all the way around. So he grows up living in the attic with one of his nephews. He stayed up there. He kept to himself and fiercely guarded his shit. He compared it to living in a war zone. So that's definitely fucked up. The relatives would later say that Anthony would laugh at the other kids, as I mentioned, and this sort of thing would lay the foundation for his love for sex and violence and abuse. I mean, just brutal. At 13 years old in 1972, he then begins to sexually assault one of his nieces.
Was that the same niece, I wonder?
I don't know, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
And he was doing this like every day. And she would wind up being sent away after she set fire in the house. I can't fucking blame the kid. I mean, probably figured that would be one way to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. At school, Anthony was considered polite at first, but no one could tell there was shit going on at home. But by the time he gets to high school, his grades start to slip. He's getting picked on and bullied at school because he's socially awkward. And Joey, here we go again, the whole bullying thing. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of it, you know, not to minimize it at all, but I think whenever people look at these killers and stuff, they try to fucking put any kind of abuse they can into their background or everything like that.
Right.
Like, if you look at anybody, I think if you look at anybody that grew up, there's probably something that you can find in their past that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, people don't go out and turn into
serial killers.
Right. Now, I'm not saying, like, this dude had a fucking terrible upbringing. I'm not saying, like, mine or anything was anything like that, but.
No, I understand what you mean.
He also grew up, he was in a house with, and he's in a house with a million other people.
Right.
None of them turned out that way.
Right.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. You hear that all the time, but I do kind of believe that.
Yeah, I think they try to, you know, hang on to little morsels of maybe something that was negative. But, you know, how many kids have lost parents at young ages or, you know, had a disease and overcame it or, you know, extreme poverty, you know, is all sorts of things. But some of these are over the top, even beyond that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like just fucked up for me. Like I said, I'm not trying to compare, you know, anything that I went through to any of this. But when I was growing up, every person that I knew, like through junior high or fucking, you know, grade school, you were into shit with other kids or you had problems with other kids. Like, it wasn't called bullying. You were just fucking growing up and dealing
it's
with.
Like, and I get that 100%. It's like, all right, fuck you. I'm going to walk away.
Yeah. And whenever I grew up, like, I learned to take a punch and that's what made me tougher in that respect.
Right.
But
no, I get what you're saying
nowadays and how them psychiatrists that check these people out, like, they feel like no one should ever have to go through anything like that at all.
It is part of growing up, though.
I got picked on.
I got brutalized.
But if it's not part of growing up, then you're going to end up with these fucking spoiled-ass entitled kids that think that they can just run their mouth about anything they want and never fucking get repercussion for it.
Right.
And that fucking scares me almost even more.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Those are the ones that go get a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So now he starts breaking into some neighborhood homes. He's self-medicating himself with alcohol. He's hanging out at the Nation. This starts to lead to even more problems. He's got no job. He's a teenager, no ambition. He does manage to get a girlfriend at age 17, but she's 14. And he was so desperate to get out of Cleveland, he winds up joining the Marines. And at first, he did very well with structure.
Hold on. You're just saying going to the Marines is desperate because you was in the Army?
No. I don't know. The Marines and the Army, Marines don't get along with anybody. They're kind of their own breed, but nothing against them.
I'm just fucking with you, dude.
Oh, I know.
I'm just fucking with you, dude.
It's all good. So I knew guys, though, in the Army that did very well with that structure of the military. Like, some people just really excel at that. Like, remember that movie Full Metal Jacket? That one dude was like kind of, you know, goofy, and then he locked into that shit. Now, obviously, he took it beyond what you should take it, but he became like a really good soldier or Marine because he was really good at listening to direction, you know. And some people, even though they might be a complete fuck up, they might be a fuck up in real life, but man, in the military, they just excel, you know. So anyway, for whatever reason, you know, he does really good. He's getting promoted. He was an electrician in the Marines, which is a very good skill to have. And he found out that his girlfriend in Cleveland was pregnant. So he gets a girlfriend in the Marines, but he's having issues with affection and physical contact with her other than sex. So just he's awkward, probably from these past experiences that he had. He winds up marrying the Marine girlfriend at age 22, but things don't go very well. And they both get sent to different bases, which is odd. I'd never heard of a military husband and wife getting sent to different duty assignments. That's weird. But it happened. And eventually, in 1985, they're both discharged from the Marines and they get a divorce. Anthony is 20.
They were only discharged, though.
Yeah, they were. He's depressed, though. He's 25 now. He moves back to Cleveland with no direction. So, Chris, he's now back in his childhood home up in the attic. I mean, that's not good.
No, you can't. When that's where you were brought up at, and that's where your ground is, where you live at, as you'll notice later in the story, it's not a safe place. Well, it's a safe place.
He's got a lot of bad memories, you know, being up there like that.
Yeah.
Secluded and just that whole, you know, desolation, no prospects, you know, feeling like he's got nothing he can do right, you know.
Plus, I mean, if you fucking grew up in that situation, you can probably look at a tiny scratch on a wall up there or some mark and remember some tragic event that occurred just by seeing that. And you fucking put yourself to where you're fucking constantly that's being reminded of all there. That shit. Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's why that mark's there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just, it's like when a you know, spouse loses a spouse, you know, and you walk or a child, you go around the house and like every little thing reminds you of that person. You know, it's just, it's hard to not have it affect you that way. And those memories sometimes can be, you know, overwhelming. You know, so, I mean, I could see where that would just be a very negative situation for him to be in. So he continues to struggle. He's got no job. He's drinking very heavily. 1986, he starts smoking crack. Chris, that's probably not a good idea.
That's the best thing you could do. I mean, why would you not start smoking crack?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to be a recipe for some disaster, I'm guessing. So
yeah, it's definitely.
He gets arrested for possession of cocaine and domestic abuse, so his crimes are starting to escalate. And in 1989, he's still a mess. He's depressed. He's getting more violent. He ends up with Melvette Sockwell, and in the attic, things go from hanging out to attacking her. Barricades the door and grabs a knife. Orders her to strip, then rapes and beats her for 12 fucking hours. Then he's got this thing now. He lays down to take a nap with them, threatens her not to leave, but she says, fuck this, and she crawls out the window. These two older ladies see her on the roof. They call the police. her sister or his sister that owns the house lets the cops in and they arrest him. So he gets arrested for rape.
I mean, that's the fucking absolute moment where he was like, well, I guess I can never let them get away from me again.
That's right.
Ever again.
We've done cases like this where that's the one that fucking got him caught because they let him out for whatever reason. They had a momentary lapse and they just were like, ah, go ahead and get out of here. He got let out. He skips bail. He doesn't go to court. It's amazing the cops don't do anything. A year later, he did the same thing again with another woman. She escaped out of the house and went to the cops. So now he's arrested a second time. The woman took off, but the cops held him because of the rape from the year before.
Right.
And they're able to convict him of rape. He gets 15 fucking years. So
he didn't even get rape. He got a plea bargain.
Yeah.
He got attempted rape. Like, he didn't even get a rape charge.
Wow.
He got attempted rape. That's for that. That's why he got 15 years.
That's fucked up. I mean, Joey, he keeps to himself in prison. He doesn't want to go to any counseling because he doesn't want to fucking tell people his business.
Yeah.
So he does the 15 years.
Yeah, there's some people that are just like that. It's like, no, this is how I'm going to do my time. You're not going to fucking get in my head about shit. The probability is that he had a bunch of stuff he didn't want to fucking think about anyway or bring back up.
Right.
And he knew that's what was going to happen. Yeah, I don't know. He was like, fuck it, I got this time, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get out and fucking do what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah. 2003, he finds out his dad died, which is crazy because he wasn't close to him, but it really fucks him up. And he finally gets out, though, of prison at age 45 in 2005. So at first, he looks like he learned his lesson, but the world had changed an awful lot in those 15 years, so he's kind of disoriented, I'm sure. He gets a job as a cook. He tries to turn things around. His stepmother, who owned the house, or owned a house, he lets him move in as a tenant. And there was a convenience store across the street, and the owner, who was interviewed on that documentary, Unseen.
I've seen so many things.
Oh, my God.
Not just that one, dude. Like, he's on everyone. Like, no, this motherfucker lived right here, came in and out.
Oh, yeah.
And they blamed my store for his stench.
No, it was the sausage factory they blamed it on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, they were blaming on this. But there was the side store, though, too.
Yeah, the convenience store guy, the guy that owned the convenience store. Yeah, he's part of the story here later on, but he's talking about how Anthony was a good guy in the beginning, but then once he started smoking crack, he just saw this decline. And he said one time he actually watched him buy crack, and they looked at each other in the eye, and like Anthony knew, like, I'm a piece of shit, you know. So it's fucked up. Does not take him long, though, to start his bullshit again. Anthony's smoking crack. He's hanging out with other drug addicts. He starts getting online and getting into these S&M websites. He's trying to find a submissive. He's, of course, the dominant one. And this feeds into his need to dominate sexual partners, about having full control, because his own life is a fucking train wreck. So he's got to have control over something. He's not paying rent. His stepmother is struggling with some medical problems, and she's not getting any money from him. He's spending whatever money he gets on fucking crack. He collapses on the sidewalk after having a fucking heart attack.
I think he was more like me. I think he drank a lot more than he smoked crack or did drugs or anything.
Yeah.
I think he kind of hauled him in with like, hey, I got some booze and I got some weed.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I know he did smoke crack, but how much he did compared to the drinking, I don't know.
Oh, and if you're fucking getting prostitutes, and prostitutes love to smoke crack. So That's like, hey, I got the hard shit.
Right.
Come with me.
Right, right. So he winds up having a heart attack and gets surgery to give him a pacemaker, which leads to him losing his job and his girlfriend. So, Chris, he's definitely on the road to fucking ruin here, and he commits his first murder in 2007.
Well, first of all, it's the first murder we know about.
Right.
The only one, not like the first one he's ever admitted to, but gets fucking crazy after this. He just wants to fucking kill. He wants a rape and kill.
Yeah.
He's like a straight up. He's like a straight up Chris Barnes Cannibal Corpse song. Like,
right.
But just like that, dude.
Like, he's the real deal, right?
He is real.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna fucking rape, murder, bind, kill.
Right.
Yeah, it's a straight up Chris Barnes Cannibal Corpse song right there.
So that's a good way of putting it. That Crystal Dozier was his first known victim. She's a crackhead. And he winds up strangling her with an extension cord, but he buries her out in the backyard. So it's weird. Some of them he buried out in the backyard, and then some he just tossed over there, you know, by the love seat.
The side.
Yeah, it's
fucked up. Yeah, like whatever.
Yeah.
Don't even care.
But this only. Like,
the fact that he carried the dirt upstairs, though. What the fuck?
This only temporary calms his ass down. Crystal's family goes to the cops, but since she was a drug addict, like Joey was saying, they didn't do shit. Anthony ripped the posters down that her family put up. That's real nice. And he was even, you know, starting to get more aggressive now. His girlfriend sees him cleaning up some blood in the house, and she winds up leaving his ass for good. That was definitely a good move because she's probably still alive. He rampages and tears up the stepmother's house, which is real nice. In 2008,
that's what I do.
Yeah, in 2008 was the next victim, LaShonda Long. She's also a recovering drug addict, and he kills her. And he throws her severed head in the basement in some pile of trash. So, Joey, this is, like we said, some Kendall Francois action, man.
Yeah, I mean, his fucking house is so gross.
Right,
that even
so
dead,
many
even, stinky,
yeah,
garbage.
Dead bodies in there isn't even fucking enough to fucking really change the course of how people already fucking are used to living around.
Yeah,
there.
It's so Kendall Francois.
Yeah, you know? It's very it really much. Is. They're very, very similar. The fucking two cases, like,
yeah,
weird.
It is the really weird.
The fact that the smell is fucked up because, like, in another way, I put it to Gary Heidnik, because he just told the cops, like, oh, I just burnt my fucking pot roaster.
Right, right.
And they just rolled with it like, all right, cool.
I think with that sausage factory there, they just thought that, well, it must be the rotting meat or whatever.
Right.
But that place was like spotless.
Right.
Like it was spotless, you know. So pretty crazy stuff, all that stinking going on. He's not letting many people in the house at this point. Even the neighbors can smell it outside, which is nasty. And that convenience store owner from Unseen, he talked about how bad it smelled. And he said that his dumpster stunk one time. And they went and threw a bunch of bleach in it to try to kill the smell. And it was just awful.
They probably fucked up some evidence is what they did.
Probably. But he was probably throwing stuff in his dumpster, yep. I'm guessing.
I mean, if you're fucking hacking up bodies in your house and you got a fucking processing plant right next to you.
Right.
Oh, there we go. That's fucking perfect.
That would be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that does make a whole lot of goddamn sense, really.
Yeah, you should have got a job at that fucking sausage factory, you know?
I mean, at least Anthony Soul has fucking a lot better fucking excuse with the sausage factory there.
Right.
Than like fucking Gacy did in the suburbs with nothing around him.
Right.
But the smell of death.
Right.
Like,
exactly that. Hell yeah, dude.
Exactly.
Fucking right.
Yeah. So he isn't letting up, though. He's violently raping women and abusing them. He's picking on drug addicts and prostitutes. So the police don't do much about it. Several of his victims, as I mentioned, were interviewed on Unseen. That's a really good documentary. And talk about their experiences with this fucking maniac and how the cops just didn't take him seriously. 2008, he's 48 years old. Things are not letting up. He finds the head that he threw down in the basement in a bucket with teeth marks on the bucket from a rat that was trying to eat it. So he put it up on a shelf like that's going to stop a fucking rat. I'm like, man, that motherfucker could climb, especially a rat, you know. He doesn't want to lose his trophy, so he puts it up there on the high shelf. I mean, it's just fucking crazy.
I mean, how are you thinking, like, how you got to think that you're completely off any kind of radar if you're just leaving fucking shit like that sitting around like
that. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, these people not are never going to come here asking right. about this shit.
Right. And you just did fucking 15 years for fucking rape, you know? Like,
yeah.
You got to think, you got to be on somebody's rape. Fucking radar.
It was
radar.
Attempted rape, true, which is bullshit.
But still, though, I mean, like, you'd think you'd be on a radar
right.
of like, hey, like, women are missing. That motherfucker needs to be checked out. He winds up.
You got motherfucking, yeah, girls from all over the place, like trying to complain, and the cops don't even care.
No, they don't. They don't. He just strangles her, and like the others, you know, they don't do anything about it. Chris, he keeps on doing this shit because he knows they're not going to be missed. I mean, it's like, you know, so many of them we talked about. Green River, you know, went after prostitutes. You know, Shaw Cross. There's been so many of them that we've covered.
It does, yeah, because it doesn't matter. Because if they're a prostitute or just a drug addict looking for something, it's easy, which sucks for those victims. But
right. Now, did you see that on the documentary, Chris, with that convenience store owner who said he wished there were a million Anthony Souls?
Dude.
To clean up the garbage? Because he was sick of the crackheads? And he said he wished there were.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. He's interviewed. He says it right to the camera. He says, I wish there were a million of them to clean up the garbage.
I didn't see that shit at all, dude.
It's pretty fucked up.
I saw the one fucking store owner. He's like, yeah, he came in here all the time looking for cigarettes, beer.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, I never saw that. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's classic. You guys keep talking about convenience stores.
Right.
Just wait for the page a day. We're going to talk convenience stores.
Oh,
on that.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
The smell's getting worse, though, guys. Summer of 2008. I can't imagine in the heat of the summer how bad it had to smell.
Right.
I can't imagine it. He continues to smoke crack. He's even eating meals in the rooms where the bodies are. I mean, God damn. That is so disgusting. In September of 2008, he scopes out another victim at a bus stop near his house. There were quite a few he picked up at that bus stop. He lured her with drugs and alcohol back to the house. She was freaking out how nasty the house was. He gets her in the attic.
God, your house is nasty. Let me go up to the attic.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Like, how the fuck did he get her up to the attic? Punches her in the face, though, with no warning, just punches her in the face. Orders her to strip and then brutally beats and rapes her. And later he would claim he hated women from his past experience.
Like, how do you go into somebody's house like that bad already? Like, oh.
Right. And keep going up the stairs, you know?
I talked.
In the middle of the night, you're already drunk. You're already high. It's the middle of the night. You're with this random dude. Why would you do that?
I even talked about it like with Kendall Francois, like, so somebody like that, if your house fucking smells like that and everything else, all your clothes and everything you have also smells like that.
Yeah.
So how the fuck do you even get out in public and people are like, hey, hey, prostitutes, I'm just going to let you know, if you find a guy that smells like decaying flesh, don't go anywhere with him. It. Yeah.
And don't go anywhere with that dude.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah. That's disgusting. But then he does the same thing. He falls asleep again. This guy needs to take some fucking notos or something. I don't know.
She needs to not kill.
She stayed in the bed, afraid to get up. The next morning, though, he acts like nothing happened. She noticed a dead body in one of the rooms as she goes to the bathroom. She's freaking out in the bathroom, trying to figure out, should I let him know I saw it? Or do I just act like nothing happened? She's afraid. She doesn't know what the fuck to do. So she acts like nothing happened. So she did the right thing because he winds up letting her leave. But she's all beat up and bruised and people are laughing at her outside the house. I mean, that's just fucked up.
But also at the same time, like, females get like scared and like not offended. What's the word I'm looking for? They just don't want to talk about it after some shit like that happens.
Right.
And then the cops just don't want to believe it, especially when you're drug addict, prostitute, whatever.
Right.
So just don't go talk to them.
Right.
So they got no, they drop the case. It's whatever.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about it, like you said. So yeah, they just rather just sweep it under the rug. You know, it's fucked up.
Okay, cool. We're done.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like, man, you can't just fucking walk up to a cop, look him dead in his eye, and be like, I was in that house and saw a dead fucking corpse in the bathroom.
Right.
Like, no, go find it.
I'm on your side, dude. I get it. It's like, that literally just happened, because the cops can be like, well, whatever, you're too fucked up or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I don't believe you. You go on your way.
Right.
Or I'm taking you to jail, basically.
Yeah. But she winds up calling the police, but they told her she had to come in to file the report, so she didn't want to do it. But Anthony regretted letting her go. He was afraid that something would come of that. A month later, though, he would claim his fourth victim, so that's not stopping him. Her family puts up posters as well. She was strangled and added to the bodies in the house, so they just keep piling up. Joey, this makes four missing women in that neighborhood. The cops don't seem to give a shit. And so he's starting to get real fucking cocky.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if like the cops got so much other fucking crime they're dealing with in Cleveland too, that's
the
bottom of the fucking stack of paperwork that you need to fuck with.
Well, that was the problem with the Grim Sleeper, right? In LA, you had Ramirez going on, all those freeway killers. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of shit going down.
I mean, it's fucked up. It's like, okay, he killed, you know, at that time there's four missing bodies that who knows if they even fucking connected them as even possibly being from the same fucking incident. And you got something like the streets of Chicago where you got fucking shootings going on all the time.
Right.
Constant homicides. Cleveland was, you know, somewhat the same way, I'm sure, in the inner city there. So these people, like,
I never even knew Cleveland was like, after, like, before watching the
Drew Carey show,
the Drew Carey show, that's it. Yeah. But the documentaries, I never even knew Cleveland was like broke down like fucking,
oh yeah,
goddamn Michigan.
I mean, I guess my life, I grew up listening to Bone Thugs, so I just always assumed that Cleveland was ghetto as shit.
Yeah, there's parts, just like any city, you know, there's bad parts and good parts, but
that's what I mean. Like, they had so much crime going on that four missing bodies isn't grand to them. You're right, and it's fucked up to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, because Los Angeles and New York were at the, you know, in the 70s were like 1,000 a year.
I mean, you look at,
that's a lot of fucking homicides.
Even a current case, you look at the Long Island killings, that's a lot of fucking bodies that they found, and there's no answer to that.
No.
You have fucking, you know, a mass killing ground, and you can't answer that question.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, and he's not even hiding them. He's just leaving them laying around the house. Yeah, that's
like
fucked up.
In my house. Yeah, I'm just going to throw it in my like, fucking goddamn junk drawer. Fucking doesn't matter.
So he drags a woman from the bus stop to his house in broad daylight. So he is definitely getting cocky here. She fights him at the house and escapes. She goes to a pizza place and asks them to call the cops. Instead, they throw her out of the fucking restaurant. So she winds up, though, finding two cops.
I think that's when he came in and was like, no, she robbed me. That's why I beat her ass. And everybody was like, oh, get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Really? That's what you're going to do? Like, all right.
Yeah. Well, whatever he's got to do, right, to hide the, you know, what's going on.
That's what
right?
he's got to do, but, like, you would think like the people there that she's coming in running freaking out to would be like putting more effort into how they
get to the bottom of it.
Right.
She does, though, finding two cops. They talk to Anthony, but don't do anything. And so he's just getting away with this shit. And he winds up killing another victim and puts her in the backyard. So I don't know what warrants them going in the backyard as to being laying around the house. I don't know what the thought process is there.
You're like, I can't handle this one.
It's like,
sucks.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Yeah. They're going in the backyard. Oh, it's Wednesday. They're going up in the attic. How about the bathroom on Friday? That sounds good. The smell is getting worse. He's having a hard time getting women to come back to the house. You think? You ever get some fucking air fresheners? He could have been like Fritz Honka. And put like thousands of fucking the little pine tree fucking air fresheners around the house.
He's probably basically like, bitch, my house smells better than your pussy anyway.
He runs into a woman that he dated on and off. He gets her back to the house. He chokes her, demands she gets naked and lay next to him. He doesn't actually rape her. But the next day, she flees the house and goes to a friend, tells her about it. The friend doesn't believe the story. And ironically, the friend that she goes to see Anthony, she winds up going to buy drugs from Anthony. And she ends up getting strangled with a tube sock and ends up another victim. So how about some karma coming back on her?
How shitty would that be? She probably got fucking strangled with a tube sock that was covered in cum.
Probably.
Like, that's how you die.
It was the cum sock.
Now, Chrissy wraps her up in a comforter and stashes her in the front room of the house.
Yeah, that was full of cum, too. Comforter.
God damn it, Joe.
and now there's seven victims, though, Chris, and no sign of fucking stopping, man.
I ain't going to stop because there's definitely fucking four more. So
right.
Can't stop, won't stop.
He loves what he's doing. Can't stop, won't stop. Probably sit in the courtroom with your eyes closed like, God damn it, dude.
Right.
But no, he's not going to stop.
No.
If he never got caught, he never would have stopped.
No, I agree.
He said he'd still be doing it. If he never got caught, he'd still be doing it.
Probably. He winds up strangling another victim with a belt, tosses her into the basement with the belt still around her neck. The same story continues with the police not doing anything and the bodies are fucking piling up. He's killing people very close to his home. He's going to that bus stop. I mean, he is doing some crazy shit and very brazen. He strangles another one with an extension cord. A woman he raped managed to get away and went to the hospital for a rape kit, but it was several weeks before the police even follow up with her. They do finally seem to be putting it together about this guy, but he continues to rape and kill. I mean, it's unfucking believable. It's kind of like that Clifford Olson. Yeah, it's like that Clifford Olson we just talked about last week. Just constantly getting away with this shit. You know, it's unbelievable. They're following him around, and he's still fucking raping and killing. It's unbelievable. 2009, another victim escapes naked out of the third floor.
Jumps out the window.
Yeah, totally. Like Robert Burdella shit. Yeah.
Dude, crazy.
It is crazy. She gets in a struggle with this fucking dude, falls to the ground. People see what's going on. The convenience store that guy that said he wished there was a million of them. Yeah. He calls the fucking, he sees her actually fall to the pavement. And she's got multiple broken bones and a fractured skull. Anthony rushes out of the house. He's fucking naked. He tells the people they were having sex, and he doesn't know how she
fucking. She fell out the window,
and he doesn't know how she fell out the window,
dude.
What are you doing?
Like, I was watching that shit. Me and Courtney were watching that shit earlier, and that came out. We just looked at each other like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, you were fucking, you fell out the window?
Right?
Damn.
He doesn't know how it happened. Yeah, exactly. Not sure how he explained that, but anyway, they call the ambulance. Joey, he tells the EMTs that he was her husband, and he rides in the ambulance with her to the hospital, man.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous as fuck. And are you just okay with telling somebody? Like, are they okay with just letting anybody jump in the fucking ambulance with you if you're fucked up? That's what I'm saying. Like, this person's obviously gone through some kind of traumatic experience. Right. Maybe we should keep them away.
Yeah. And he's naked.
Yeah.
Like, did they let him go get dressed?
I just totally do not. I mean, this is as mind-boggling, maybe not quite, but as, you know, Dahmer with the victim that got away, that they returned to him. Like, what in what world do you live in that you didn't fucking put something together to keep this from happening?
Right.
So, yeah, he's in the goddamn ambulance with her.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Right.
So they wind up, though.
Cool at all.
Chris, the cops, though, they go arrest him for rape, and that's when they find the bodies all over the fucking house, man.
Oh, no, it's because the one girl, she went and fucking to the cops about rape, and she said she had left her underwear there.
Oh,
so they
got
a warrant to check his house, for the underwear, which were there. But when they walked in, there was just dead bodies laying on the fucking floor, dude. Right. And they're like, oh, we need to fucking back out of here, dude.
Right.
So they fucking got the fucking homicide detectives fucking come in and do that shit. And they came upon so much gore.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine.
Lived
it.
With. Dude.
It had to take weeks to go through all that shit. Same with Kendall Francois. It took a lot of time.
Right.
She had so much garbage in there. So they clean all that out.
Right. Dude, if you see the
dust for
pictures,
print, you know, gather evidence and that kind of filth.
I mean, you can't imagine how many fucking pieces of evidence because you don't know what's been used for what.
Exactly. Like, what were you going to say, Chris?
And, like you said, just like Francois' house, like it was just like nasty as fuck. All the pictures of the flies and everything, dude, just gnarly, dude.
Yeah, it looked like those nasty gross. Decatur houses I used to have to inspect. That's what it reminded me of.
Decatur,
really gross.
Illinois, represent.
Right? I can't believe I never found a dead body doing those inspections. Seriously. And I was in those places just like that.
Yeah.
He tries to avoid the cops when someone calls him to tell the cops that the cops are searching his house. So he knows the cops know what's up. Right. He just doesn't, you know, go home. He's trying to avoid them. On Halloween of 2009, someone calls the police and turns him in. So he is finally arrested. The cops excavate the backyard in search for bodies. They find 11 total in the house and backyard. In
dude,
that documentary,
there was a skull in a bucket, dude.
Yeah, that was that head that he had in the bucket to keep it from the rat.
A skull in a bucket. He's just like, all
right. Right?
He didn't give a shit.
No. In that documentary, Unseen, the police are seen talking to him and try to get him to identify the victims. These two cops are just sitting there eating potato chips while they're talking to him. Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck are you eating anything in the presence of this stinky motherfucker, man? God almighty. I'd have given his ass a fucking shower and put some prison clothes on him before I even thought about talking to this motherfucker. He claims that he was having nightmares about this shit and was not being very cooperative at all. But he winds up pleading not guilty and still gets convicted of 82 rapes plus kidnapping and the 11 murders. So pretty fucking brutal. Get sentenced to death, no big surprise. He claimed that he didn't get a fair trial due to all the media attention and that his defense attorney was inadequate. He did the usual appeals. That's just to be expected.
That's the thing. You know, everybody does the appeals.
Who wouldn't, you know? But they're all rejected. But he winds up, unfortunately, dying of natural causes in prison February 8th of 2021, so not that long ago, almost about a year.
10 days before you, 9 days before me.
That's right. We got birthdays coming up. He was only 61 years old, but he had that pacemaker at 45, so, you know. December of 2011, the house was torn down and a memorial put in its place called the Garden of 11 Angels.
Have you seen it? It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
It's on my bucket list to go see. Like when I go to Cleveland,
I would totally go see it.
I've never been to Cleveland.
That's a good idea.
I'd take flowers and put them there, dude.
The next time we go visit her brother, I was thinking about going to check it out.
I'm trying to go out there because I also want to go to Bath to see where Dahmer's house was.
Oh, okay. Dude, if you go to Cleveland, you got to go see Sick Rick.
Right,
man.
Yeah. No, totally, there's a lot of reasons to go out there. So.
Yeah, no, that'd be a great reason to go see
Rick.
But
yeah, no, the Garden of 11 Angels, like, I do want to see that.
Yeah. So, Joey, I did see in 2012 he reached out to a website, Serial Killers, Inc., with a letter and to try to sell some artwork, but the prosecutors put a fucking stop to that.
Yeah, and fucking, I'm sure the website fucking already knew. I mean, there's the fucking clause that you can't sell fucking, you can't profit off your fucking homicides and shit.
Right, the whole Son of Sam law.
Exactly. So they probably, as soon as they got that, they're like, we'll kick this to somebody else that can take care of it. And they were like, bro, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
He did try, though.
He did try. Chris, Joey, anything to add to the Cleveland Strangler?
I think we did, as far as I know, I think we did a pretty good job. If people want to know more, go check it out yourself. Like, there's a lot of content out there. Go get it.
Yeah. Joey, what about you?
Nothing really about the Cleveland Strangler, but I just think it's kind of a side story. Like, this guy fucking, you know, he gets popped off for this shit. And then fucking.
Talking about Michael Madsen?
No, I'm talking about fucking the what we're talking about right now, Anthony the Cleveland Soul. Strangler. So Anthony Soul gets fucking popped off, and the whole time Ariel Castro is sitting in there in Cleveland with three girls that he abducted.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, you want to sleep next to your fucking victims? This is how you do it.
Right.
You don't fucking kill them. You keep them. You know, it's just he had to have been – Castro had to have seen all this pop off.
Probably.
And seen how it all went down and the excavation of the house. He probably even drove by the house. Yeah, probably. I mean, who knows?
Probably.
But it's just weird to think how somebody that's also equally fucked up can see that and fucking think about it and learn from it. Yeah.
I mean, we see these guys study each other all the time. Right. You know, talk about it quite a bit.
Castro got caught in 2013. So it was after, you know, this had already all came out. He had the girls since 2002.
Right.
So fucked up.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, Michael, I don't think it's Michael Madsen. Something like that.
It's not Michael Madsen.
Yeah, it's an actor.
You know who I'm talking about, though? Like, he's from East fucking Cleveland. And he, said that he killed, like, three. He got convicted for three. And he's from close within the proximity. And he wanted to do what Michael, or what Sowell did. What Anthony Sowell did. He got three.
Yeah.
Wow.
God damn it. Why can't I think of his name right now? Yeah. I'll fucking think of it and I'll let you guys know, though.
Sure, sure. Well, I did my research.
Like, it's. Go ahead, Pete. Sorry, my bad.
That's all right. No, it's hard when we do it this way because we're not looking at each other.
I know, right?
I did my research for this one by watching the documentary Unseen. I saw that on YouTube. And it was very, very good, very thorough. They talked to all the people that are part of this and the survivors and family of the victims. And it's interesting. Plus,
I watched a lot of things.
Yeah. Did you? That's cool. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we put in the work for any of these episodes. I also listened to the two-part podcast from Serial Killers. That was good. A lot of good stuff about his childhood that I didn't know, that I learned from that. There was also some other stuff, but between those two sources, I think you cover it pretty well. So if you are interested, like Chris said, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there, but the ones I mentioned is what I used. I didn't even look in Peter Vronsky's Serial Killers, The Method and Madness of Monsters. I bet there's some stuff about him in there, but I did not look, so... So there's some good stuff out there. Now, next week, guys, we're going to be doing our Patreon episode. We're going to record the Manson family episode. It's only for our Patreon supporters. So if you're not a Patreon supporter, you need to get on it. Go to that episode description, Chris, $3 a month. They can get that and listen to the Manson episode as soon as it's done. But we're going to do that one next week. And, though, Chris, we're going to do Brutal Rewind 8 on the Zodiac. So that should be good. We already did Zodiac.
Things that there's new things that came out on Zodiac.
Yeah, so we want to do a Brutal Rewind on
come back on it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do double duty next week.
As far as the Manson family, we're not doing Charles Manson as a person, just straight up.
Manson family. Right, exactly.
So hell yeah.
So that should be good. So that's next week. Joey, got any good page of days for us?
I got some.
Convenience store talk?
Yeah, I was fucking flipping through the fucking Google. I was trying to find the one that Chris was talking about, but you put in Cleveland Serial Killer, and it's fucking All Sowell and the fucking Torso Killer.
Oh, yeah.
And also fucking, you know, Golden State
There's
Killer.
A strawberry.
Right.
There's a Golden Strawberry State. Killer, too.
The no, what? You're thinking about Little.
Yeah,
Samuel Little killed he had some, near Cleveland.
In Cleveland,
right,
yeah.
Okay, but that's not who I'm talking about.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I tried to find the one you're talking about, but I couldn't find it. All right, so, yes, I do have some page today shit. What do we got here? I think I only got really two of them, but one of them's a couple multi-parter. And this one has to do with Ted Bundy, which obviously there's a lot of stuff about Ted Bundy. I've been hearing about the dude my whole life. Like, he's one of the fucking, the big four, oh, yeah. I guess. But every now and then you read some shit and it's a little bit different take on the subject. And I think that this one's a little bit different. So what they're talking about is the Chi Omega sorority house. And everybody knows, you know, Bundy did some homicides there, but this is kind of a different view of it. It's kind of from, like, the victim's view, I guess. So, in 1978, two sorority sisters, they survive a harrowing murder spree committed by one of the most notorious serial killers of all time. Kathy Kleiner and Karen Chandler were sophomores at Florida State University in Tallahassee, and they lived together as roommates in the Chi Omega sorority house. Kleiner's parents thought it would be safer than the dorm she lived in as a freshman. I mean, little did she know, you know, right, this could happen.
Little did she know.
But January 14th, you know, was a pretty normal day. Kleiner attended a friend's wedding and then returned to her room in the Chi Omega house after the reception to study. Chandler read in her bed across the room, and they turned the lights off about 10:30. Now, at like 3 o'clock a.m. January 15th that night, Kleiner awakes. She heard somebody trip over a trunk that was in between their two beds.
Yeah.
So obviously Bundy had fucking walked in there. It's dark. He was probably fucking a little wasted too.
Right.
Trip. Fucking hits this trunk, fucking wakes her up a little bit. And all she see is a dark human-shaped mass looming above her with a club above his head. He then begins beating her and Chandler. All of a sudden, light flooded the room, and the attacker fled, and that's when one of their Chi Omega sisters, Nita Neri, she had returned home from a date, and she basically showed up in time to save their lives is what wow. she did. She watched the man run from the house, noticed his distinct profile, and called the paramedics as Chandler stumbled in the hallway and Kleiner rocked and moaned in her bed. So
wow,
that was the fucking scene that was going on. Brutal. So the women didn't know it yet, obviously, but their attacker was Ted Bundy. And 2 weeks prior, he had just escaped from fucking Colorado, where he was, you know, being held on fucking suspicion of murder and kidnapping there. At the time, the charge was just one count, though. As we all know, he had fucking lots of homicides by that point. Yeah. But he was suspected, you know, dozens of disappearances, etc. So he had made his way to Florida, and whenever he went to the FSU Chi Omega house, he had already killed two other sisters, Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy, before he had gone into the room with Chandler and Kleiner.
Yeah.
So, you know, those two, they were very lucky to escape with their lives. Like, he was trying to fucking kill a bunch all at once.
Because it's Ted Bundy. Yeah. He's trying to kill everyone. Yeah.
So Chandler, she suffered a concussion, broken jaw, loss of teeth, and a crushed finger. Jesus. Kleiner had a broken jaw, a deep cut in her shoulder, and she'd half bitten off her own tongue. She spent a week in the hospital with her jaw wired shut. An oral surgeon would later have to re-break, realign, and rewire it. And she spent more than 2 months healing at her parents' house in South Miami.
Wow.
So once her jaw had healed, she became the outspoken force in the prosecution against Ted Bundy. Like, she was the main fucking witness for her. The Tallahassee Democrat published a story about the Chi Omega attacks, and they called her a belligerent survivor. She wanted to keep moving forward. 3 months after the attack, she started a job at a lumberyard to overcome her fear of men. She later got a job as a bank teller, where she was robbed at gunpoint. She took the afternoon off, and she returned to work the next day. She became really strong out of all this, so that's good. At Bundy's trial in the spring of 79, she testified against him, and she didn't even wince because, of course, he was the one he was acting as a lawyer, so he's cross-examining her. Wow. So that's her fucking attacker.
You know what? I know you guys have both heard this, but whoever represents himself has the dumbest client.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you know what I'm saying?
She couldn't even identify Bundy that night, of course, because he was just a shadow in the room.
Right.
But, you know, she knew it was him. He was found guilty, you know, sentenced to death and executed in January 89, but Kleiner has gone on to live a full, happy life, and her only remaining gripe...
Good for her, dude.
Her only gripe is that there's been too much focus on Bundy in the media and not enough on his victims. That's what she said.
Wow.
And that's amazing. That makes a lot of sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Right.
So one of the other ones I have here from Page a Day is, along with that story, was a couple comments, which I'll put these up on the wall. I need to take a picture and fucking post
it. Oh, yeah.
We got quite a few now. But so this is in their own words. So this is Kathy Kleiner, the Chi Omega survivor. She said, "He was, and he lived, and he breathed, and he did what he did. And at some point, he was possibly a real person. I think it's good for people to read books about Bundy. I really do. They need to know there's evil out there, but they can control it." So that's what Kathy Kleiner said.
Interesting.
And then Karen Chandler, the other Chi Omega survivor, she said, "I was a victim until I walked out of the hospital. I was a survivor until he was executed. We got to come up with something that's after that. It's not part of me anymore." So,
wow.
I mean, when you live that life and you've known that person that long and you find out, yeah, not good.
But anyway, I mean, that's some strong shit, you know, coming good from stuff. Them. And like I said, I mean, all the shit that I've ever read on Bundy and all that, that was just kind of a little different perspective. Yeah. So interesting. Thank Very you, Page a Day. Yeah. So the last one I got is about Daniel Rometta. So this is a guy who's from Traverse City, Michigan.
Yep.
He grabs James Hunter and Lisa Dunn and brings them on a fucking crime spree in 1985, basically. He's messing around with fucking Dunn, and then Hunter's just like, I think he was her friend. And he gets them to go with him, and he's just like out of control shit. And they end up going on a crime spree through Kansas, Arkansas, Florida that left five people dead and three wounded. So I was telling you guys about the convenience store. So every time you guys brought a convenience store, I kept thinking about this because they talk about it a lot. But so his first homicide, Daniel Rometta's, he kills a convenience store clerk in Ocala, Florida, and he gets $50 out of the fucking robbery.
Oh my God.
Takes the fucking dude's life. 2 days later, him and an accomplice, which I would imagine was James Hunter, they walk into another convenience store in Wascom, Texas to rob it. The clerk was shot 5 times, but he lived, and later on he was able to testify in the Florida killings.
Oh my God.
He was also convicted of 3 murders in Kansas. He went to a restaurant, found the proprietor, the owner of the restaurant, and he killed him. He kidnaps 2 other men. These guys were both over 50, I think, from a grain elevator, brought them out to a fucking country road and fucking shot them execution style.
Holy shit.
In Arkansas, he kills another convenience store clerk. And he ends up in an unoccupied farmhouse in Kansas over the border, and that's where authorities found him, and they ended up fucking having a shootout with him before they finally apprehended him. Now, when he gets caught, he wanted to be extradited to Florida because he said that they imposed the capital punishment and that he wanted them to pull the switch. Like, that was his words.
Right.
So he was like, fuck that, I want to die, bring me to Florida. And he also said, this was his quote, "Death is only as ugly as you make it." So James Hunter, the accomplice, he was convicted.
Death ugly.
Oh, yeah. But James Hunter was convicted, but later he was acquitted as they deemed that he was forced to participate in these crimes because of Daniel Rometta.
Right.
After he was acquitted, he died 4 days later of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Right. And then Lisa Dunn, she used the battered women's abuse for her excuse.
Yeah.
And she won her case, and she didn't end up getting in trouble for it either. So Daniel Rometta, that was one Page a Day. Thank you much.
It says like David Parker Ray, like he didn't spend any time in prison at all.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, this guy did the time in prison. The guy that got acquitted fucking also went to prison, spent time in there, and whenever they reversed his conviction and let him out, then he fucking ended up dying four days after freedom.
All right, never mind. My bad.
Page a Day, good stuff. Yeah, all right, guys. Well, we have done our fair share of murder tonight. I think it is time to crank the fuck up some heavy metal and talk about it. So, Joey, what the hell do we need to do?
Let's get our metal on.
Just because CK has passed on, he's not done educating the masses. CK will forever be the great metal motherfucker. We're here to stomp poser ass and eradicate the planet of their kind. CK has passed the torch to us, and we will forge the fuck on. In CK's name, we will bestow metal knowledge upon all of you. Hell yeah. We are in the metal segment. We're eating some Pop-Tarts here in Horns High.
Fuck yeah.
Chris is eating some tater tots, so.
I'm eating some tater tots and some mini corn dogs. It's pretty good.
There you go. Well, really we're enjoying nice. Ourselves. We're in the metal segment, of course. CK, the great metal motherfucker, forever living in the metal segment with us.
And I'm keeping it real for CK because I'm eating an actual Pop-Tart.
Yeah, you're eating the Kellogg's Pop-Tart.
You're eating the Clover Valley, shit. And CK was slumming
it in the Clover Valley.
He doesn't play that shit.
It's good, though, man.
No, CK don't
oh, I like
shit.
It. Yeah, yeah. I'm down with it.
Oh, I know.
CK, he said, fuck that generic shit.
I still think it's funny that the last... I still think it's funny that of all the things I sent him over the years,
the last thing you said
the last thing I sent him was that box of
Pop-Tarts
that he hated, the maple and brown sugar and Clover Valley.
You know he loved it, though, dude. You know he loved it, though, dude.
Oh, I'm pure.
God damn. So, yeah, tonight I'm doing Cranium.
Hell yeah, dude.
The metal segment. Cranium's a fucking badass, fucking brutal-ass, fucking just metal band. From motherfucking goddamn, I mean, the most metal place ever, fucking Norway.
Oh, like, yeah.
If you don't think about Norway and don't think about metal, you're dumb. But, yeah, 2001.
Some church burning metal.
Yeah. Well, they're not black metal, but it's same place. But, yeah, dude, that's definitely church burning metal. But, yeah, they started in Ukraine in 2001, and they had a bunch of lineup changes throughout their years. But one of the most biggest things is now I'm going to say this last name again later while I talk about this band, but I will not pronounce it right, I'm sure. But Martin Fundrud in fucking 2017 – on April 20th, which is 420.
Nice.
He killed himself, fucking, he died. What it's fucked up. So but their current lineup, they got vocalist Jack Christensen. He started in 2017, obviously after Martin did his thing. And then they got a guitar and backing vocals Matt Furund, who is the original vocalist Martin's twin brother, which is fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, like wow. Twin brothers. Yeah, that's your twin brother, and he decides he just like you build a band together, and out of nowhere, I can't even imagine the thoughts in that dude's head at all. Like, but he does backing vocals and guitar, and he's one of the last founding member, and then also on guitar, I'm going to fuck up a lot of these names because I don't pronounce them well. Like, but also on guitar, you got Jason Vrlamos. I hope that's how it's pronounced. Dude, if you're listening, I apologize. Great. And also the current lineup, bass, Micah DaCosta. And drums, you got Tobias. I love that name. Tillenbach. I love Tobias because Star Trek. Fuck yeah, dude. So, like, basically when the band started, they all came out of fucking Norway. But now everybody is from, like, every member is from a different country, like Norway, the United Kingdom, Switzerland, Finland, Denmark. Everybody just comes out of everywhere. But they all make this amazing fucking just brutal ass music. And I love the shit out of it. And as they went through their fucking shit, like also other members like Jack Christian, like he's in Dragging or Guttural Slug, dude. I don't know if anybody has heard Guttural Slug. I know Joey has.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of it.
Guttural Slug's badass, dude. And Dragging Entrails, fucking Jack Christensen I said, Matt's, I'm sorry, Matt's is in fucking guttural slug. My bad. But, dude, these guys are badass, and they got a fucking sweet fucking lineup of their fucking, like, their discography is amazing. Like I said, they came out in 2001, and their first demo came out, No Respect for the Dead, came out in 2002. So, like, a year after they started their band, they're fucking killing.
Yeah.
And it's, dude, and it's 13 fucking songs, and it's less than 25 minutes, dude. like they just fucking, but every song just fucking, it just gets it, dude. And then fucking, they did a couple of promos between 07 and 08. And then their first full length came out in 2008. It's fucking 10X of Sickening Perversity.
Hell yeah.
And again, every song on there just fucking murder shit, but it's only 11 songs and still less than a half hour. So every song on there, it just nonstop, just going. Brah, da, da. I fucking love it, dude. And then the second pulling came out in 2009. Reverse Abortion was one of the best. The album, I'm sorry, The Art of Female Sodomy.
Yeah, that's like, my favorite.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Come on, man. Dude, that shit's so nasty. And when you come up with song titles, like, Reverse Abortion, like, so you're just gonna put a live baby inside that pussy? What the fuck, dude? This shit's so good. Fuck yeah, dude. Cranium fucking kills, dude. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. So then 2010, they put out Gore Soaked Slam Massacre with Epiectomy and fucking Dominant Carnivore. Dude, I love the splits because you get multiple bands together, and they put out all their good, not all their good songs, but they put every song on splits. It's fucking amazing. But that's a fucking good ass split, dude. And then their third full length was 2012. Postmortal. I can't even remember. Postmortal Coil of Fixation.
Yep.
Coil. You just want to fuck. So like this song, this album, like it was over 30 minutes long with 12 songs. So I love the way they put their albums together. It's like so many songs, but they're short, fast, heavy, and you get like just this time of music that you just want to jam to. And I love that shit. And when you got fucking songs of like fucking Crack Whore Pounding, come on, man. Come on. Slurping Vaginal Pus, what the fuck, dude? Come on, dude. Like, these are some great song titles. You can't come to me and say it's not. but fuck yeah, dude. And then if I get to 2015, the fourth full length, Chronicles of Perversion, 40 minutes long with only 11 songs. So like in my head, that's like the longest album with the smallest amount of songs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're fucking, and like you got Rusty Knife Defloration. That's like Fuck with a Knife from Cannibal Corpse, basically. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. It's like, just like stab it in there and go. And then they did another split in 2017 with fucking Analepsy. They did six songs, and unless they did five, fucking, I don't know. Cranium, if you guys don't listen to Cranium, just go check them out, man. They are fucking one of the most badass bands. They're heavy as fuck. Go fucking listen to fucking Cranium. And that, by the way, that is a K-R-A-A-N-I-U-M.
Yeah, Cranium. I wonder if that's go in their language, out, if that's how you spell Cranium, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Go listen to fucking Cranium, dude. They fucking just murder it.
A couple things I'll add to it too is Cranium is like basically what they were the ones behind Slam Worldwide, which that right. fucking is a huge YouTube channel now.
Yeah, I thought to bring that up. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Joe. Fuck yeah, yeah, dude.
And also it was also crazy, but when Martin Funderud died, and of course he committed suicide, but it was
I meant to bring that up. Yeah,
But it
was 2017.
Yeah, but it was a sad day in metal because it was also the same day that fucking Bill Tolley, the drummer for Internal Bleeding,
right.
He perished in a fire whenever he was a firefighter, of course.
Oh, wow.
But so both of them passed away the same day, so that was a big hit in underground metal scene.
Yeah.
And it was also 420.
Yep.
Wow. Well, good one, Chris. Yeah, Cranium, definitely some brutal stuff. So our listeners get their work cut out for them. Go check some of that out. I got a Lost Classic to throw down on you guys. Yeah, I was jamming this the other day. Slayer, Show No Mercy, probably what kind of brought me in to the heavier side of metal, got me into the more underground stuff at the time. Slayer was a brand new band, and I remember that album, Show No Mercy, just so wicked. That and Live Undead was another really good one that I liked.
That's one of my favorite live albums.
Slayer, just so killer back in the day. So my favorite Slayer is, you know, the first two or three, Show No Mercy, Hell Awaits,
dude.
Hell Awaits, and fucking Seasons, Raining,
dude.
Blood. Like,
dude, even Seasons.
Oh, yeah. Seasons so is good. Badass.
Dude, come on, man.
No, I mean, they've got, you know, South of Heaven. I mean, there's several really good ones, yeah. But my favorite is the first two, three. Definitely, that's my thing. All right, very cool. What's everybody been listening to? Joey, what about you?
I've been jamming fucking Voivod, Dimension Hatros. Fucking love that album.
Canadian.
Yep. I was jamming fucking... I'm not a big deathcore fan, but I shared it today. But my buddy Blue, he plays in Dysentery and a few other like brutal bands. But he's the bassist for Fit for an Autopsy, which they're a bigger band.
I like Fit for an Autopsy, dude.
They're on tour right now, but they just dropped their album, Oh, What the Future Holds. And I mean, musically, it's just fucking an amazing album.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of that stuff I don't like either, but like Spite. It's kind of like on the fringes of what I could maybe listen to, you know?
So jamming that. I was just jamming in Oingo Boingo Dead Man's Party because I fucking love that shit. Danny Elfman, fucking amazing musician, of course.
Yeah.
And then in the car right now, I got fucking an underrated fucking band, I think, but Dead Congregation. And I was listening to their first EP from 2005, Purifying Consecrated Ground. And I mean, this band just does like old school death metal, right? Like in the Asphyx vein or something like that. But
nice.
Dead Congregation, go check them out.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Chris, Chris, what about you there?
I've been listening Coronaville. To Crane.
Crane.
I said Coronaville. Yeah, obviously, I've been listening to Corona. Corona. God damn it, dude. Why you gotta fuck with me, man? Shit. But yeah, obviously Cranium, because like that's the band I'm doing. I'm like, need to listen to more of that shit.
Yeah.
And they're fucking heavy. Other than that, Analepsy, I've listened to a little bit. And as Cashman said, like the fucking metalcore, deathcore, or whatever, I really like fucking Winds of Plague. I don't care. Their first two albums, I don't care what anybody says. I've been listening to a lot of that because it's heavy as fuck to me. Okay. So, like, Decimate the Week. And Stonewort, like, I think that's what it's called. I don't know. I just know. Fucking those albums, I've been listening to them a lot. So
that's cool.
I've been listening to some shit.
Very cool. I've been listening to some Beast. I'm going to play some of that later. Really dig those guys. I mentioned Schizophrenia earlier. Love that. Also, a new band I've been listening to. I found out about it from a band interview. Called Killing. They're from Denmark. These guys are wicked speed thrash stuff, really good. And then another thrash band from Ukraine. You mentioned Ukraine earlier, Chris. Mortal Vision. There's some young guys contacted both them and Killing, and they're all interested in doing interviews. Schizophrenia as well. And Beast, their manager, because they're on Century Media. Their manager responded to me and looking like we're going to be able to work something out. So a lot of good interviews going on. And I did an interview with the thrash band Corrosive. That's Corrosive with a K, just like Cranium with a K. Corrosive's from Toronto. I just did that one this past weekend. It was really fun. The singer, Red, and the guitarist, Jack, Longest band interview I've done yet, 51 minutes. And those guys are going to be my next feature when I get the horns again next month. So I'm anxious for that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Joey, so what's...
Joey next week, right?
Not next week because it's
the
a
week
bonus.
After,
but
the week after, yeah, next
oh,
week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. All right, gang.
Now, Joey, how's the Gormonger album, the reactions, and how's it been received?
I'm pretty stoked. I've gotten some good feedback about it. Awesome. Disfigure in the Narrative, my 10th full-length. It's on the Bandcamp. It's on YouTube. It's on Bandcamp for free download if fucking anybody wants to go. Actually, I put all my albums for
get
free
that
download.
Physical, though, dude.
Yeah, and you can get the physical
get
from
that
me.
Physical.
Yep. I'm the only person you can get that from right now, so if anybody wants the physical of that or my other CDs, get a hold of me. In other news, too, fucking me and my buddy Darren Daz from down south, he did a band Slamophiliac, who I've done splits with and everything else. But me and him, we had a project called Esophagus Rot, and we had released a 2-song demo a while back, and we just
the goddamn snake or the goddamn shark cover.
Yeah, the shark it's every yeah, song we yeah. do is about some shark shit, but nice. It's called Esophagus Rot, and I mean. We fucking got, I think, 7 new tracks or whatnot that we had finished and done, and we were just sitting on them, and our buddy fucking Alex from Crotch Ripper, of course, he's doing his Troll Tracks fucking thing, and they're kind of blowing up a little bit, so I was like, fuck,
yeah,
man.
Squatch?
Yeah, or no, it's just him, but...
Oh, no, that's Squatch yeah. Tracks, never yeah. mind.
So, I'm like, Alex, why don't you... I got this album sitting here, would you be interested? So we've just been in the talks about that in the last day or two, and he's going to fucking cool. release that. So Esophagus Rot, Jumping the Shark, that'll be coming out, that'll include the demo. And then one last nice. Thing I was going to say, since we're in metal, is I also just did an interview.
Yeah.
I had Kevin,
yeah,
the guitarist.
Ask you about this.
Oh, yeah. I had the guitarist from Waco Jesus come over, Kevin, and he fucking hung out at my place, and we set up the condenser mic, and fucking I did a little interview with him.
Awesome.
This is the first time I've ever done an interview by myself, like giving one by myself. So
right.
We'll see how it sounds, but whenever I do the fucking metal segment next,
I'm excited, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to do Waco Jesus, and
hell yeah.
You guys will be able to hear a clip of that, and then we'll release
another
fucking,
Illinois band.
Yep. And you guys can hear the whole interview after that too. So
oh hell yeah.
Okay, dude.
Yeah, I remember doing several shows with those guys back in the day. Badass.
Yes.
All right. Well, we mentioned that 666
club. 666
club. And we're talking
666
about this next Patreon episode, the Manson family. You don't want to miss it. And if you join the 666 club, you won't. You'll be able to hear it just like everybody else. That's a member of the club. $3 a month. Link to that in the episode description if you're interested.
Go get some.
Patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem.
If you guys want to support what we're doing, it's only $3.
Yeah, like, $3. I mean, that's
toss
nothing.
It in the hat. Fucking get some shit out of it.
Exactly. 10% off merch. The episodes a day early. The karaoke as soon as I do them. You know, a lot of extra stuff we've been doing. Like I said, we did the Dahmer episode. We did the Capone episode. Ramirez.
Yeah, we still got more on there that you can't even hear if you don't have.
That's right. Patreon. The interviews, the full interviews, you get to hear them as soon as they're done. So it's just good stuff. So patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. All right. Well, we have done plenty of metal tonight. So, Chris, what the fuck do we need to do?
I think we need to get that mayhem on.
Calling Callender Shoe Repair. We're cutting off your penis is an important part of your foot health.
Wait, hold on. I didn't catch that last part. Whatever, dude. I have a pair of work boots I need to have fixed.
We can do that for you, sir. Please bring us a half a cup of your wife's pussy juice when you drop the boots off.
What? I'm not married. Even if I was, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Did you say pussy juice? What the fuck, dude?
Sir, please don't use that kind of language. This is a respectable business.
For Christ's fucking sake, fuck off.
Oh, some CK.
Yeah.
Tough to hear it, CK, dude. But also awesome to hear CK. So
hell yeah,
we're planning to do a big CK blowout episode sometime at the end of March for his birthday. So if you're wondering what we're going to do about CK, we've got some ideas that we've been bouncing around of how we're going to do it. I'm going to see if Laura will do an interview with us.
Hell
and
yeah.
Talk to us about how she's been doing. And I keep in touch
Laura's
with her.
Awesome.
I keep in touch with her every couple weeks. I touch base and see how she's been and talk to her a couple different times. And she's having a rough time of it, but she's doing the best she can. And she's
that's awesome.
You know, just trying to,
I'm glad she's getting through.
Yeah, find a way to deal. Yeah. She's got a new apartment. She's got a new apartment now, so she's not in the same place. Which
she doesn't have to fuck with them steps.
Yeah,
that's what I was. No, she ain't got to fuck with all them CDs.
Fuck those damn stairs,
bro.
Yeah, she got the record store. Jarosa Records came and bought it all. Three or four truckloads of fucking CDs out of that place. That's crazy.
Fucking CK fucking just killing, dude.
Yeah, like,
I'm
sure.
I'm getting more music than you ever.
Right. And so that was the Callinger shoe repair. That was always CK's favorite episode we did was the Joe Callinger because it was just so fucked up. So if you missed that one, go give that a listen. I'm not even sure what number it was, but it was crazy. Before that was Cranium and the song Bound to Kill. And Chris, great job on the feature.
I don't even like Cranium.
Yeah, right. No, you did a good job. You did a good job.
They're so fucking metal as fuck, dude. I love it.
Definitely. I was going to give a quick update on Deeper Than Dead. I'm completely done writing it now. Now it's grammar time, so my wife and her red pen is going through it for grammar and punctuation. So it's getting super close. I've never edited a book as much as this one. I really hope it means that it's going to be even better and real tight writing, trying to, you know, really hone down the words and make them count. And so really excited about it. We're going to be announcing a date. It's going to be this spring. I've got a very symbolic date to release it. I'm going to hold off telling you the date, but I'm going to say if anybody can guess what holiday I might be releasing a book I wrote about hell on. All right. The book is written about hell and I'm releasing it on this certain holiday that comes in the spring. The first person to get the right answer at Pete@murdermetalmayhem.com, I will give you a copy of it when it's out. So there's your simple question, all right? Pete@murdermetalmayhem.com. First one gets the free copy of Deeper Than Dead when it comes out. All right, well, that's what's going on with that.
I got a quick mayhem story.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, so back when I was a kid, I was I wasn't even old enough to drive. I was probably like 13, 14. We used to ride our bikes back and forth through fucking the country house I lived in. And I'm not going to say city because it's a tiny ass town.
Right.
But we just ride our bikes back and forth all day long. Like hang out here, hang out there. So we're riding back one day and I don't even remember what happened, but I flipped over the front of my bike and the end of the hand grip was broke off, so the hand grips like stabbed me in my chest and I had this fucking hole basically from a hand grip. I still got a little bit of a scar, dude. It's fucking gnarly. If you guys never had that fucking pain, you don't even know.
Damn.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Dude, talking about bicycle hand grips, I'll tell you.
Go get it.
The most bogus shit is so bogus. But when I was a kid, we all had our BMX bikes. And like, fuck it, I had a badass bike. Like, me and all my friends had this sick bike.
We had badass bikes back in the day. Just me and you were hanging out.
Yeah.
Just like hanging out with your boys. Like, yeah. We had badass bikes.
Well, me and my friends, we stole everybody's bikes and took all the best parts to make our bikes as badass as they were. So.
And built a bike, but
I don't know, that whole time was like a time period for doing bogus shit, and it's whenever I was coming up in junior high and shit, so you know, you're learning to get in trouble, so
right,
we would steal like the chrome caps off all the cars, off the, you know,
yep,
but
hell yeah,
we used to like fucking ride down the sidewalk and do bunny or fucking kickouts on a bike and fucking knock over garbage cans, like that was huge. But the most bogus thing I think I did, you know, reminded me of the hand grips you talked about, is we would break off the ends of the fucking hand grips so you could push them in a little bit on the handlebars, so fucking the handlebar itself would stick out a little bit on the sides. We'd be flying down the road, and whenever you're fucking booking on a bike, like you're standing up, like pushing side to side and shit. But dude, we would ride down the street and there's cars on both sides, and we would just fucking, with the handle grip pushed in, scrape our whole fucking handlebar across people's cars fuck up their paint jobs. I don't know how many people shit we did that to and how bogus that is, but after I got older, and realize how much that costs
to murder metal man.
After you get older and you get in a car, you're like, damn, I was a fucking asshole.
No, bogus.
At the same time, when you're a kid, dude,
yeah,
when you're a kid, teenager doing some fucked up shit, I get it, man.
Yeah, you
I
don't
get
care.
It.
You don't care.
No.
That's funny.
Hell yeah.
All right. A couple of good little mayhem stories there. All right, well, we have got a killer cage match to get to, gentlemen.
Can we allude to the fact that we're talking about a possible killer cage match?
We could. Sure. We could.
Now, anybody that's been listening for a while, if they remember whenever Punky and WVK went at it in the ring.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was a great fucking, you know.
That was a lot of fun.
That was. And, you know, we've talked about doing it again, and we've got a few characters. We got some people involved.
Yeah.
We got to see how it would all play out.
Some
but,
Joe Ball, maybe.
Yeah. If
some
you
old
got,
Creole.
If you guys heard that shit and you liked it, fucking get, let us know that.
Yeah.
Give us some fucking motivation.
Yeah.
Because
fucking give us your take on what the hell the case
Chris might
have
to do some Ilsa Coach.
Right. Chris Ilsa Coach with Joe Ball versus fucking, you know, old Creole and Punky. I mean, that shit would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
So if anybody's interested in that, let us
know.
That
might be happening here pretty soon.
Chris is saying, oh, fuck, because all he does is try to do a Russian accent, ends up being Cheech Marin the whole time. but it's awesome
every
as fuck.
Time,
yeah,
dude.
It's
every
awesome.
Time, dude.
That's funny. All right. Well, our killer cage match tonight.
Our killer cage match.
We got some 70 killers that we came up with, 70 objects for him to fight with, some variables to make it fun. And Chris, we want to once again thank our listeners for providing those random numbers.
Yes, we do. Once again, we got our homie, Ray McFalls. Love you, dude. Cody Durst out there fucking keeping it fucking Limp Bizkit. And fucking goddamn Colton Howell.
That's right.
Fucking
That's
killing. Right.
Could be killing. A relation to William Devin Howell. We don't know. Or Joey, he could be related to Mr. Howell on the fucking Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
So we don't know. There's a lot of options.
Colton,
there.
Let us know. I know you started listening. Fucking.
You got any famous relatives, Colton, with that last name?
He's down in Effingham. I said, listen to the fucking Mad Gasser, Mad Toon episodes. You got to
nice,
hear that one.
Nice. We got a good matchup tonight, though, Joey. Who's fighting tonight?
Fucking screen door intruder Richard Ramirez.
You know it.
And screen door.
He's going to go up against the guy with the laugh, Israel Keys.
So, yeah, very fucking annoying.
And also probably one of the most professional serial killers that we've ever run across, though.
That's true. Yeah, that's
weird
true.
As fuck.
Like,
unbelievably.
Like, what are they getting to fight with, Pete?
They're going to be fighting with a 2x4 with some nails in it and a pet rock.
Hell yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Oh, hell yeah. What's that variable, though, Joey?
It's Cartman from South Park, and he's pissed off. He can't have any KFC.
Oh, shit.
Dude, you know Cartman gets pissed.
Oh, yeah.
He can't have no fucking food.
Yeah.
He said, this is Boston Market gravy, bro. You trying to fuck me? That shit was so funny.
Right? Fuck yeah, dude. So, all right. So we got Richard Ramirez and Israel Keys fighting to death in a cage with a 2x4 with nails and a pet rock. And Cartman is pissed off. He can't get any KFC in the cage there with him. I don't know what he's going to do with these two, but Chris, what do you think? You're the first one in the shoot.
I'm going to go. Like, Cartman's just pissed off. He's already bitching at his mom, Sheila Bravosky, whatever. Like, don't even give a shit. He's like, Mom, where's my chicken? And he don't give a fuck about what's going on with Israel and fucking Richard. Don't care.
Okay.
Ramirez is going to grab that motherfucking goddamn fucking 2x4 and be like, yep, I'm about to kill you too. There's that pet rock. That pet rock's going to stand there and be like, what's happening in my life? Because Israel Keys is going to be like, oh, you know, I already set up a hidden spot with a whole murder kit right here. So he's just going to fucking murder the shit out of Ramirez. Cartman's just going to be pissed he don't got fucking chicken. I'm going with fucking Keys.
Okay. Joey, what do you think, man?
Well, I think fucking straight up fucking man-to-man Ramirez is going to fucking up Israel Keys.
I agree, too. Physically.
Man-to-man, like physically, yeah, I'll go with that.
But in this scenario, though, I think what's going to happen is fucking...
Keys is smart, though.
Oh, he is. But I think Ramirez is going to go fucking grab that bat. He knows that he's got the upper hand on Keys. So he's not even fucking worried about him. So he grabs that bat and he goes over and starts fucking bashing Cartman because he's annoying the fuck out of him.
Oh, damn.
So Ramirez goes fucking ham on him.
He's just going to beat the fuck out of Cartman.
Yeah, like, and while he's doing that, Israel Keys is trying to be slick because he has his little fucking kit, like Chris was saying, fucking hidden where he had fucking already established he was going to do a murder. So he goes over and tries to get the fucking murder kit out. Ramirez, he is not fucking having this shit. He's like, get the fuck out of here. He pulls the nail bat out of Cartman's fucking groin. He fucking picks up the pet rock, throws it in the air, and swings the bat, fucking sends that pet rock straight into fucking Israel Keys' fucking face, knocks him the fuck out, goes over and fucking takes care of him the rest of the way with the bat.
Damn.
So Ramirez, any way you look at it.
I think it's kind of hard to argue against Ramirez winning this thing, but I think whoever gets that 2x4s with nails first is probably going to win. But I think just, you know, physically Ramirez obviously would beat Keys, but Keys is smart as fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, Ramirez, is out of his mind with fucking drugs. And so if he was out of it, I think Israel Keys get the upper hand. Yeah, I think it's a tough call, man. And I don't think Cartman's going to do a whole lot being mad about not having any chicken. Shit.
He's just too fat and being angry.
Yeah. So, all right.
He's just like, KFC, Mom.
Well, we know our listeners dig some killer cage matches. Oh, yeah. So do we. I never thought coming up with that would be so much fun, but it's been a lot of fun over the years. We've done live killer cage matches where the audience calls out the numbers.
I would like some audience members to fucking just call in. I want these numbers. I want to be in on this match. I want audience members.
There you go. You got your challenge.
Hit us up, dude.
Well, I think we've done plenty of mayhem tonight, guys. So I think it's time to hit the fucking outro.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, Beast and the song Ecclesia. I really, really like those guys. Some Danish death metal, so sick. Very tasty with some really stunning musicianship. Those guys are unbelievably talented. Really, really like them a lot. And I was talking to their manager about lining up an interview, so we'll keep you posted with that.
Hell yeah.
Music tonight, Schizophrenia, Beast, and Cranium. Very nasty. Yeah. We've definitely been bringing it here lately. We've had Justin was in here like, man, you guys have been just firing off all these bands.
Yeah.
I'm checking them out, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm telling you, like, it's crazy. Just keep finding, like one after the other.
Off.
Yeah, I love it,
whether,
man.
Whether it be my style, your style, Joey's style, whatever.
Yeah, we're
even
like
CK, we come back.
Supporting
with listen to this metal, dude. It's metal.
Yeah, and I like, I listened to Votov and I really dug him. I bought a shirt and then wound up doing the interview with him and I had the shirt on, you know. Yeah. I'm like, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Like, I'm telling you guys, support these bands. You know, buy the shirts, buy the physical, like Joey and Chris were talking about. That's how you help these bands out that aren't able to play like they're used to. So,
dude, that's how they make their living off their music.
Exactly. Joey, what about the metal segment intro? Who's doing that?
Crysix.
Fuck yeah. Chris, Murder Metal Mayhem's intro.
Fucking Low 12. Who the fuck else, dude?
You know it. You know it. Thanks to everybody out there listening. We keep seeing those numbers it's holding steady, so we do appreciate that very much. And Chris, we got some good listener comments here this week. Why don't you take the first one?
I mean, I'm gonna try. It's Pinky Tuscandro.
Tuscadero. That's from Greece.
Tuscadero.
Happy Days, yeah.
All right. Yeah, Peaky Descatero rules says, I like when you have Shane from Winnipeg. Having an actual Canadian on the show when you talk about killers is a great idea. I love you guys so much. Been listening since the early 2020 from Boston.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Thanks, Pinky. Yeah. We appreciate
that. The fact that you even like that, like we get Canadian listeners to come on the show. Dude, you're from the United States. If you got a story you want to talk about, let us know.
That's right. All right, Joey, what about the next one?
Dina Schultz commented, I work as a security guard on third shift. Thanks for keeping me awake laughing my ass off. Loving some MMM here in Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
All the Canadian metal on the podcast. Yeah, we had a bunch going recently.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, Dina. That's fucking cool. Billy Raven 666 commented, this is my new favorite podcast. I'm in Manchester, England, and a guy I work with told me about you last year. I can't stop listening to you crazy fuckers. I love the Votov tune and started listening to them. So, hell yeah, Billy. That's fucking cool as hell. Dude. Chris, what about the last one, dude?
The last one, you need to love your brother a little more. Like a little bit more. I love my brother. Me and Michael get into fights, but come on, man.
Even though he listens to Disturbed?
He does not listen to Disturbed.
Oh, okay. That's a story
Kane
this week.
Kills Abel. Oh, dude. I love you, dude. Nice. But yeah, Kane Kills Abel says, I've heard a lot of podcasts about toolbox killers, but you guys knocked it out of the fucking park. Great one. Love hearing Joey talk about Macabre. I miss CK. You guys are doing the best job. Metal segment, metal as fuck. So, yeah. Thank you. Cain Kills Abel.
Hell yeah. Well, we're trying. You know, a lot of people have said they do miss CK. Of course, we all do, but they do like that we keep it going and we're passing it around so everybody gets their turn each week and gets to do a band that they pick. So that's really, really cool.
Next week's Joey, right?
Next week, we're doing a bonus Brutal Rewind. And the Patreon.
Right.
So we'll skip a week, but Metal will be back first episode of February, Joey. Yeah. Going to the fucking Constitution State, some William Devin Howell. So that's going to be a sick one.
I'm going to keep it another Illinois band, Waco Jesus.
Waco Jesus. That's going to be sick.
I'm going to branch out soon. I can't do it too fucking long.
Of course, but that's cool.
It's been a good run,
though. Yeah, that's a good call.
I just grab bands that I listen to.
Yeah,
I've been doing the same and got some really good ones coming up myself. So. Check out MurderMetalMayhem.com to listen to the past episodes. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's starting to grow, so go check it out. We're on there, Murder Metal Mayhem. Find us easy enough, or go down to the episode description and you can find a link to it. Check out the show on all sorts of platforms, but when you do, subscribe, like it, comment. It helps, so thank you for those of you that have already been doing it. And if you haven't, please do. Support the show. Join our 666 Club. We've been talking about that tonight. Patreon.com/MurderMetalMayhem. Just $3 a month. And, of course, that's in the episode description.
$2 a month, you get all extras.
That's right.
It ain't
VIP
much.
Access.
It ain't much.
No.
You probably spend more of that a day on fucking beer. I do.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Every 5 minutes, right?
Right.
you can go to creationofchaos.com if you want to pick up one of my books. Check out the episode description to get a copy of Creation of Chaos 3, the last one. And you can get the audio book on Audible, iTunes, or Amazon. So down in the episode description. Getting ready to do the audio book for Deeper Than Dead, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
That's a much shorter book. That won't drive me as batty as the other one did. Plus, now I know what to do.
You don't want to sit there for fucking 8 hours like, oh, God, I got to do this.
Right? You know, I was speaking of doing the audio book. I remember going crazy with all the Audible shit they wanted me to do, and they wanted me to get room tone. And I was like, what fuck is room tone? So I had to like look it up, and I was like, I was watching Family Guy last night with Jenny, and one of the episodes, I don't even remember why it came up, but they were recording, it was their podcast. They were doing it from the Bearded Clam.
Yeah.
And they were doing a podcast. Yeah. And Peter, I think, says, hang on, I'm trying to get the room tone he was recording. I was like, the fucking Family Guy knew about room tone. I never even fucking heard of this shit before. But I know what room tone is now, so I'll be able to do the Audible shit. I did not get a chance to do a karaoke song, but I did disappoint a little boy band massacre. So check this shit out. Crank it up. And until next time, keep 1 foot in the gutter.
And keep your pit wrapped around some of that good underground grind metal. Love it.
Hey, hey! Bye, 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 bye! Bye, 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 bye! Oh, 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 I'm doing this tonight! You're probably gonna start a fight! I know this can't be right! Hey, baby, come on! I loved you endlessly! And you weren't there for me! So, it's time to leave and make it alone! I know that I can't take no more! It ain't no lie! See you out that door, baby. Bye, bye, bye. Don't wanna be a fool for you. Just another player in your game for two. You may hate me, but it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye. Don't really wanna make you talk. I just wanna tell you that I had enough. Might sound crazy, but it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye. Ow, ow, ow. Just hit me with the truth. Now, girl, you're more than welcome to. So, give me one good reason. Baby, come on. I live for you and me. And now I really come to see that life would be much better once you're gone. I know that I can't take no more. It ain't no fucking lie. I wanna see you out that door, baby, bye, bye, bye. Don't wanna be a fool for you. Just another player in your game for two. You may hate me, but it ain't no lie, baby, bye, bye, bye. Don't really wanna make you talk. I just wanna tell you that I had enough. never know for sure. I don't wanna be the reason for your love no more. Bye bye. I'm checking out, I'm signing off. I don't wanna be the loser and I've had enough. I don't wanna be your fool in this game for two. So I'm leaving you behind. Bye bye. I don't wanna make it tough.
Man.